Hi, this is Jill Murphy from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus. The Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast provides the latest industry news and information, thought leader insights, clinical updates, patient counseling tools, and innovative solutions for the everyday practice and business of pharmacy. Before we begin with this week's episode, do you know one of the original ways that Listerine was sold as? We will reveal the answer at the end of the episode. In this week's episode, we will be discussing rural community pharmacies and their handling of COVID-19 with Troy Trigstad, Chief Pharmacy Editor of Pharmacy Times and Executive Director of CPESN USA. Trigstad has heard the same consistent concerns from the community and rural pharmacists, which includes workforce protection, patient protection, and the supply chain. The newest concern that has come to Trigstad's attention is the issue of what to do when a patient cannot access somebody at their primary office or emergency department, leading to many patients turning to pharmacists for help. As for the role of these pharmacists changing throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, Trigstad said the larger role of the community pharmacy and the pharmacists, particularly in rural areas, is much the same at a high level. However, it depends on how it is being deployed with COVID-19 and what exactly they are interacting about.
I think a lot of the pharmacies and pharmacists have been pillars of their communities as far as being calm and collected. It's very easy to watch a lot of the news, a lot of the social media that's going on with a lot of people staying at home more and probably having the TV on more often, to develop anxieties about, you know, how they're interpreting information and what information is being conveyed to them. And when you're in a time of crisis and there's a lot of noise out there, what you tend to do is go back to the relationships that you already have and those trusted voices that are already there. And so I think this calm and collected source of trusted information is something that they're playing a really important role with. And it's not for everybody, but there's certainly aspects and segments of the community where that's been really important, particularly in rural areas.
Further, Trigstad mentioned how one of the most important things that pharmacists should note for preparing to get ahead of deliveries in the pandemic is to begin using appointment-based models on patients.
If they are at risk or elderly, has been something that I think has been really important. And when we look at this in the rearview mirror, I think we're going to be able to look at a lot of what these community-based pharmacies are doing and say, wow, they were really out ahead of a lot of things, ahead of the curve in preparing for this. Anecdotally, what I've heard out there is a couple weeks ago to last week, super busy, still busy, but super busy. And now it's trailed off a little bit for those patients that have all sorts of conditions, not just the COVID response, but all sorts of conditions that the pharmacies have been preparing, like a lot of the hospitals have, with how am I getting a lot of throughput that's non-COVID, non-coronavirus through my pharmacy, through the system, so that when the pinch happens, that I'm able to respond and I'm not getting regular flows of care processes coming at me when I've got the COVID corona response coming at me.
We are taking a short break to celebrate pharmacy hero Seth Heldenbrand, Dean of Experiential Education at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences College of Pharmacy. Heldenbrand has gone above and beyond for fourth-year pharmacy students at the university, communicating with the Accreditation Council for Pharmacy Education to ensure the seniors have enough hours to graduate. He has also worked directly with students and others to coordinate conference calls, remote grand rounds, and other advanced pharmacy practice experiences hour opportunities. In addition, Heldenbrand has worked with other professors to create an online course to ensure students have completed their longitudinal experiences, in addition to coordinating students to work the UAMS COVID-19 hotline, which handles patient questions and referrals to the Mobile Triad Clinic. If you would like to nominate a pharmacist or pharmacy staff member as a pharmacy hero, email the address in our description with your nominee. Now back to the show. As for pharmacists who are concerned about handling their own mental health and taking care of themselves, Trigstad emphasized the fact that the public is appreciating and recognizing pharmacies even more than ever before.
Obviously, if you're an ED nurse on the front lines or you're intubating patients, goodness gracious, bless you for doing that because you're extremely high risk with aspiration, et cetera, et cetera. If you're out there on the front lines as a public health worker and you're in front of folks, you're testing folks, you're grabbing those nasal swabs, which are very difficult to administer and cause all sorts of coughing and et cetera, et cetera. Goodness gracious, bless you for doing that. But people are starting to come around to, wait, all of these sick folks and chronically ill are also going to their pharmacy or being served by their pharmacy. So not just the pharmacist, but the pharmacy staff is exposed to this, right? And really any essential business, but particularly the pharmacy. And I think that the media has really appreciated that, perhaps even more so than our care team members, unfortunately, but the media has been pretty good about that. And so I think be proud of the work that you're doing out there. But you get to a point where just stress, right? Stress and burnout makes a difference. So you hear a lot about pharmacies right now. Hey, it's 12 hours that we're open, but we're working 16-hour days. Well, one of the challenges there is immunocompromised means immunocompromised. So we have to be still vigilant about taking care of ourselves.
On top of the COVID-19 pandemic, rural communities are still at a higher risk for opioid issues and similar problems. Trickstad mentioned that the regular capacity is down and for pharmacists to keep this in mind when moving forward.
Dentists are generally not doing a lot of procedures. There's not a lot of hip replacements going on out there right now. There's not a lot of knee replacements going on out there, tonsillectomies, these types of things. And so that has a twofold effect. One, there's just less opioids being prescribed for procedures. So, and that those folks that are usually having those visits, having those procedures, dealing with acute pain from whatever else, even in the primary care environment, are also generally can be more available. In some places it's not because they've restricted hours, in other places they're still available or available by phone. So I think you're still in the same mode of opioid stewardship and caring for patients. I think where things get a little bit more tricky is how do you handle the patient that's terminally ill? How do you handle? And I think a lot of that is trying to be as business as usual. So the opioid issue is still out there.
As many other associations are trying their best to help during these times, Trickstad said how the NCPA is doing their best to create clarity out of ambiguity as much as possible.
A lot of these small independent practices are in dire straits, unfortunately. We're going to have to try and figure out how to keep them open, and some of the PPA stuff will help there. So I think on the policy front, as far as what pharmacies can do around early detection, care management, monitoring of these patients, particularly in the rural areas, but also advocating for services related to delivery and Medicaid covering delivery. This was part of the 1135 waiver that NCPA was looking at as well. So, you know, we're probably not through the entirety of policy changes. We'll probably have a fourth, fifth, sixth act that goes through Congress. I think that would be hard. We'd be hard pressed to believe that's not going to take place, certainly pre-vaccine. And we're probably a long ways out from that. And then also that on the policy side, that as the system starts to really get overwhelmed, that we're really tapping into pharmacists and pharmacies, and particularly in rural areas.
Did you figure out our fun fact of the week? One of the ways that Listerine was sold originally was as a surgical disinfectant. Listerine was originally sold as a cure for dandruff, a hair tonic, a deodorant, and even as a floor cleaner. Profits from Listerine increased 60 times in 5 years after the company inspired social fear by starting an advertising campaign that reinvented bad breath as a medical condition called halitosis. Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus. Stay tuned for next episode, where we will be joined by another key opinion leader in the pharmacy space.